I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. Lux Noir London joins me today, and we are talking about the Emmys, Drag Race, and Only Eating on Tuesdays. But first, do you want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta.
I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta, a luxury public access podcast and YouTube talk show where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and get Very Delta. Very Delta is for the woman who believes in Crystal Light, because Crystal Light believes in me. But first, let's get into some things that are Very Delta. You know what's a double-edged sword? Is speaking in one word. I was recently at the car dealership, and the person that was doing my transaction didn't have any sort of like welcoming, any sort of hello, nothing like that. They just looked at me and said, car, and like rolled their eyes. And I was like, oh, it's the Aston Martin. And they were like, oh, debit or credit? And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what, like, what, like, it just seems so rude to, like, not greet someone. Like, maybe they have a shitty job. I know I talk about this a lot, but I'm going to talk about it until the cows come home. I think people that work in customer service need to just have the tiniest level of decorum. Like, it is not that difficult to just look at somebody and say, hi, were you picking up your car? And then I say, yes, it's the Aston Martin. And they say, oh, okay, how would you like to pay for that? Is that going to be debit, credit, cash, in tacos? How would you like to pay for that today? And then I can tell them, like, I'd like to wash dishes for the $9,000 that I have to pay to pick up my car. But they don't do that. They just debit, credit. I don't know why that, like, where that comes from, that, like, the least amount of effort possible. But it's a double-edged sword, and I say that because I do like it when I'm out somewhere and maybe I'm like in drag and I'm walking by and somebody goes, fierce. That's a compliment. That feels great. You only need to say one word and I know what you're communicating to me. You know what I'm saying? Or you walk by and somebody goes, ooh, bitch. That's good. That's great. Actually, that could be double-edged too itself because somebody could go, bitch, and then somebody go, hitch. Like that. Kara Cunningham, aka Chris Crocker, once upon a time said that and did that. And I was on board with that. I understood that. So that sort of thing, that sort of like where it's like, it's cool if you say a word based on like the way that you say it. It could be, it could be received as a positive and also be received as a negative. But there's like tons of words that people use that just, or phrases that people use that I'm like, where does that even come from? Like, I was wearing a red wig the other day and somebody goes, oh, very red wig vibes. Vibes suggests that when you use the word vibes, it's used in place of suggesting to someone that there's an aura around what they're doing, and it seems to suggest an experience like something else. So if I have a macrame plant holder in here, and I have some old 1970s records, and I have a hairy bush, and somebody says, what does this experience give you? And then I could say, this gives me like a bit of a 70s vibe. But I wouldn't walk up to the hairy bush and go, oh, hairy bush vibes. I would say, you have a hairy bush. It's not giving me waxed vibes. It's giving me muff. And then it's giving, like people say that too. Like it's giving green couch. No, it's a fucking green couch. It's not giving anything. Now you could say, oh, this is giving me a really swank bachelor's den. Oh, okay. I could see you're talking about like the sort of grommets and the upholstery. Like I get where you're going with that. But this idea of like using, or when people say, what is it sometimes people say? You'll say, oh, you know what? The other day I had a really great lunch. Oh, what did you have? I had a Western bacon cheeseburger at a Western Bacon Cheeseburger Land restaurant. And they'll go, I love a good Western bacon cheeseburger. Well, no shit. I mean, you don't love a bad one. So you love a, like, are you giving me a little of this? I don't know. I'm looking at this blonde wig. I'm getting a little Dolly Parton. Well, I don't know. The flyer says Dolly Parton. I was just announced as Dolly Parton. I have a big hairy mole right here hanging off my face. My lips are this big. I think I'm giving you a lot of Dolly Parton. Not a little. Ooh, I love a little Dolly Parton. No, everybody loves a lot of Dolly Parton. You can't just love a little bit of Dolly Parton. You got to love a lot of Dolly Parton or you have to leave the planet. You know what I'm saying? You have to love a lot of it. What is something else people say? Oh, I love a good taco salad. Do you? Do you love an average taco salad? Or do you just like accept an average taco salad? I love a good, you're giving me, you know what you're giving me? Like this is the other thing. Someone will come in a tuxedo. Oh, you're giving me formal wear vibes. No, this is a formal wear. This is tried and true and tested. Like stop using that. Now, if somebody said, I'm going to wear a wetsuit because I'm going to go snorkeling, but I think I want to put a bow tie on it. And I think I want to carry a cane. And I think I want to have a top hat. Then you could say, you're giving me scuba diver with some formal wear vibes. Like, I get that. Those are the vibes. Not full formal wear. But you are giving me the suggestion that your drag today is scuba diver in formal wear vibes. That I'm on board with. That I understand. But looking at someone fully done. Oh, look at you in this wedding gown with six ladies all wearing peach dresses that match. You're giving me wedding party vibes. No, we're getting married right now. Stop. Oh, it should have gone away a long time ago, but it's still around. Realness. Ooh, are you giving me red dress realness at the Emmys? No. I'm really in a red dress and I'm really at the Emmys. There's no realness. There's no suggestion. It's really happening. But people grab these words because they hear other people use them in other ways. And then they're like, I want to use it too. But it's like, you got to figure out how to use it, man. It's not working. Like you can't, I don't know. I hear people use words all the time. I try not to use them just because I don't think I'm using it right. I don't really say that something is bussin'. I let other people use that because I think that they know how to use that. I think I know what it means. And I think whenever I want to say that something is bussin', I like to say, that's fantastic. That is exceptional. That is better than I imagined. That is perfection. That's lovely. That is spectacular. I don't think it's better than bussin'. I just can't use bussin'. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't always cut a word, but sometimes I do. I think if someone is charismatic or has charisma, I want them to know that I think that they are charismatic and they have charisma. I don't want to tell them that they have all the riz. I don't want to tell them that. I don't think that's for me. I don't think that's my generation. I don't think it's my neighborhood. I don't think that is my zone. I don't think that is my congressional district. It's just not for me. I think you're charismatic. I don't think you have the riz. Oh, and people say Bette Midler. You know it's Betty Davis. It's not Bette Davis. It's Betty Davis. I could be wrong. You know it's LaCroix, not LaCroix. The company said so. You can call it whatever you want. I'm just saying. You know when somebody has a funny laugh and they like laugh and they like maybe they snort like they'll do that, right? Or they'll laugh and they'll burp. Or they smile and they have like a really big funny smile, a big toothy smile, or maybe they have like incisors, like their incisors are longer than usual, or maybe they have a gap or whatever it is. When you laugh at somebody who has that, they're going to remember that forever. So as much as I'm up here in this way talking about like people misusing a word or whatever, I'm speaking in jest about like actual words, not like mispronouncing a word, but actual words. But when people smile really big in joy, or they laugh at something and they have a funny laugh, those are signature to them. And when you make fun of them, they're going to fucking remember it forever. And I'm just coming to you as your auntie to tell you, that's not fucking cool to like laugh at somebody the way that they laugh and go, oh my God, you have the weirdest laugh. They're going to remember it. And every time they go to laugh at something, they're going to stop themselves. Because I know people like personally who have like what people deem to be not the perfect smile, you know, and they cover their mouth because they're nervous or embarrassed. Remember that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a piece. I mean, I'm not trying to get that serious with you, but sometimes we have to be serious with one another and let people know, like, you know, we all have a fucking mirror. We know what we look like, right? I mean, come on. So just talk the way you talk, you know? Like, say what you say. What's her name? Sarah Bareilles said, I want to see you be brave. Of course, she said that, and then that song sounds exactly like Roar by Katy Perry. Did you know that? Go lay those songs over one another. Something I do, like, because I'm weird, I will do that. And you'll just see, like, they spoke the same thing, but in different ways. But it was the same fucking song. I'm telling you, Roar and Brave by Sarah Bareilles. Yeah. Do you want to see me take a break? Because I think you want to see me take a break. The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl, I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. My guest today is letting it all hang out. Welcome, Lux Noir London.
Hi, Zelta.
Hi, thank you for being here. I am always glued to your pictures. Like, there was one, you did a reel where you were, like, walking through New York, maybe.
Okay.
And you were just, like, and I remember commenting on it. It just took me to a place where it was, like, modeling and then being serious and then being not serious and then being, like, laughing. And then it's just, I feel that from you all the time, that you're telling a story constantly in clothing and with your body. Is that really how you are?
Yeah. I think that every, like, moment that I am in front of a camera or posting something about myself is kind of like a mini calling card.
Yes.
I feel like my objective is to always put myself in the forefront of everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of as like, this is what I do. This is who I am. This is what you'll get if you hire me. This is what you get if you work with me. This is what you'll get if you appreciate my art. I just think that I take a very self-centered approach to everything I post, and I like to show every facet of myself with everything I do.
I love that you just said self-centered, because I instill this all the time when I say to people, there is a difference between being selfish and being self-centered. And self-centered is so important. You have to be your own best cheerleader. And as you know, as a model, because I consider you to be absolutely a model.
I consider myself a model as well.
You are. Drag is part of that medium. But I believe that you do sell a personality. You sell an effervescence. And as somebody who, like, I was raised watching the supermodels. So whenever I see somebody that I'm like, oh, that person's a supermodel. Like, I live vicariously, because you're so aware of your body. You are just so in touch with it. And that's so exciting to me. And I think there's nothing wrong with people saying, I'm self-centered. I have to put myself first. And you do that.
I think all of the greats are self-centered. Anybody who you can look at in the media and see that they've had like astounding success, they are self-centered.
Right.
That's the only, you are the product. You are right. Selling yourself. I don't think I would be doing a service to the artistry that I do if I didn't put myself at the forefront of it.
I just think that's honesty and confidence. And a lot of people, like, when they hear that, I think people are trained to believe that you always have to be like quiet and meek, and people have to be grateful and wholesome. And you can be grateful for things, but why does everybody have to blend in?
I think that, and I talk about this all the time, I think that society has gotten to a point where they have taken the need for equality to be equal on every facet. Mm-hmm. One person cannot be greater than the other, because then that is a notch off of them. Where it's like, no, we have to realize that it's okay to feel like you have something over the next person, mm-hmm. because you owe it to yourself to feel that you offer something different and something worth value
right.
to the world. Things that are more valuable are not things that are so common. If every person had an archive McQueen gown in their closet, the value of it would be depleted, because it's so common.
Right.
You know, I feel like people want... I'm trying to think about what I'm saying so people don't get the wrong message.
People are going to get the wrong message. I know what your intention is, and you know what your intention is.
Yeah, I feel like everybody is so focused on not wanting anyone to be better than them.
Right.
Because if you're better than them, that means that they're less than, which is not the case. People can feel like they're better than you. I don't think that that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I never do anything with feeling like I'm better than anyone. I just know what I bring. And if you think that I'm better than you, then that's on you. That's not on me.
1,000%. I mean, you're an artist. Again, a model, an artist, somebody who can, you know, you act. And I think that is what makes someone really great, is knowing, especially when you do provide a visual element. You have to know a little bit about modeling, a little bit about photography, your angle, the way that you're wearing something, how it's showcased best. And I think a lot of people, you know, especially when it comes to doing drag, a lot of people see what you're doing, or see what maybe somebody on season 4 or whatever season did, and they go, I want to do that, so let me just find the people that can make me do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you don't have the passion for creating this, it's going to show.
Yeah.
You have the passion for it, and you're not asking for anybody to do anything other than, in my mind, appreciate or move out of the way.
Yeah, I don't like to say I'm against New Year's resolutions, but I don't think that the new year has to signify you wanting to change something about yourself.
Sure.
I feel like you can have a New Year's resolution at any point in the new year. But this year, I'm really focused on doing things not for the enjoyment or entertainment of other people. I feel like I've done a lot of things recently where I've been moving in a way where I'm very conscious of what everybody else is going to think and what's going to get the biggest reaction out of people. Well, everything I do is for a reaction. I'm just going about getting that reaction in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I've built a platform and I've built a name for myself where people know the brand, people know what I am, people know who I am, people know what I do. Now I kind of just have to showcase it. And if you like it, you can stay on the train. And if you don't like it, the next stop's in 5 minutes.
I think there's nothing wrong with that honesty. I think it's beautiful. Why not be clear about what it is that you want and how hard you're going to work for it? And that's what you do. And that's why I always find it weird when people sometimes say, like I've heard in the past, I want to see the real you. I want to see you be vulnerable. I want to see you do this. And I always think, is there something wrong with somebody really just looking perfect. Isn't that the goal? You wouldn't want someone to go, oh, I see that's ripped, or that's not how you present yourself. Yeah,
I agree 100% with what you're saying. I'm a vulnerable person, not in the way of like showing like the imperfections.
Right.
I think my vulnerability comes from the perfection. Mm-hmm. Because at my core and at my soul, my art is all I have. And by perfecting my art and showcasing my perfected art with you, that's vulnerability, because I'm sharing a part of myself that's so personal. Whether it just might look like I'm like wearing an outfit, but like people don't realize like the amount of like hours I've studied curating the knowledge to come up with the references and the thought process behind this basic outfit. It's not a basic outfit, but like
Never gonna be basic.
This outfit. It's like people don't realize that this isn't just me buying an outfit.
Right.
This is years and years of me studying and years of me learning and years of me just sitting in my room, like pushing the pavement, like studying, reading, like watching to come up with this outfit today.
Right. No, 100%. And it always shows. You were just at the Emmys and season 15 won an Emmy. How does that feel?
It feels really good.
Uh-huh.
Because I know for a fact that a lot of the things that I did on the show made an impact. And being Absolutely. A fan of the show for so long and having things that I have done be in like the Drag Race zeitgeist is kind of like wild. Like right. Entertainment Tonight was captioning like videos of our cast with my entrance line.
Wow.
Like that's kind of like crazy to me that something that I did on the show is now in the cultural zeitgeist of like queerness or just like pop culture. That's all I've ever wanted to do. Like I grew up admiring and like worshiping like celebrities and worshiping people who've had an impact on culture. It feels really good to know that I've left my mark at such like a young age.
And especially now, I mean, the world is a crazy place, but this country itself is a crazy place. It's always been. But to see and hear so many attacks on drag or artistry in general is so gross. But then when you see that it's being celebrated specifically by not just what a crew put into something, but what a cast put into something. Because like you said, you put out into the world these lines, these visuals, these things that other people use in conversation. Now we hear specifically queer people use a lot of the conversations and a lot of the words and phrases. But then we also see like cis people out of nowhere utilizing those lines. And you're like, okay, so you've decided that now that's yours. But as much as it bugs, it is kind of cool to realize, like, wow, you don't even realize what you're doing here, do you?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like when Cardi B came out and she was saying, oh,
right.
And, like, everybody was like, oh, my God, this is the Cardi B thing. I was like, LaGanja said that in, like, 2014.
Right.
Like, girl, you're a little late to the party. But, yeah, it's kind of very interesting to see how queerness has impacted modern culture. Queerness not even from, like queer people, like just queerness in the essence of the word queerness,
right?
Which it was something that was so taboo, even from like, I guess you could say like cis straight people, where now it's like everybody's a little queer. It's
right.
Like Harry Styles is straight and he's like, you know, so queer. Mm-hmm. It's like queerness in itself is just having such, I guess, like a renaissance in society. And it's really great to see. I just think that, queer people have been pioneering queerness for so long. I think it's about time queer people are given their flowers for bringing that to the forefront.
I love that. When you were at the Emmys, obviously you were like completely done up. When you left, did you like go out in that somewhere? Like, did you go to an after party? Did you go get something to eat? Do you eat?
Sometimes, but only on Tuesdays.
See, you have to have a plan.
Yeah.
You have to have a plan.
It's like RuPaul has the Tic Tac diet. I have
Absolutely.
The only eat on Tuesdays.
Absolutely.
But on Tuesdays, I only eat like really small portions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating for eating disorders. Trigger warning, that was a joke. So
I am advocating for eating disorders. I spoke with Meatball, and she informed me that Lux is a fatphobic. Tell us about... No, I'm teasing. She did say it, but she told me it was an inside joke.
Yeah, no, it's an inside joke, but I don't know.
It's tough. It's tough anymore because we do like joke about stuff, and we only joke with the people that we know that can get it, but we do... It's hard because other people do hear things and they digest it, no pun intended, in different ways. And you're like, I'm not shaming you by any means or suggesting anything.
Yeah.
It's just something, especially people that do drag. You know, we've been raised to be very protective of ourselves and what we do and of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So those cultural things that we do and those references that we make and those jokes – we really only do with people that we know can get it.
True. And I think that's because as queer people, we have lived a life that has had so many times of like feeling like sadness or like despair. You kind of just have to laugh.
Right.
So you kind of just have to laugh at the pain, and you laugh at the pain with people who have felt similar pain.
Right.
And when you open that box of pain laughter to
right,
people who
right.
might not have experienced it on the level that you have, they kind of take it as like an insult, where it's like you're not insulting them, you're laughing at this shared experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Obviously, you travel a lot mm-hmm. for work. When you are like in an airport, this is, I say this to people all the time. I have no budget when I'm in an airport or when I'm at the movie theater.
Oh, true.
There's just
you have
just
no choice.
You have no choice. What are you like if you go to an airport and you stop into like the Hudson News?
Okay.
What are things that you're going to take with you on the plane?
It's very inconvenient for if I'm sitting next to anyone, but I love Pringles.
Oh yeah, because they're individually perfect.
Yeah. And sometimes they're crushed, but all the crushed ones tend to go to the bottom. So by the time I, like, eat a couple, I, like, fall asleep on the plane, and then I wake up and I'm getting off. And then I, like, forget that I have the Pringles because, like, I have to, like, go and get ready for the gig. But Pringles, I love apple juice. Oh, my God. A Minute Maid apple juice. I always buy two because I don't know what it's about. I don't know what it is about apple juice, but I can chug it like it's water.
Yeah.
Like, if you're drinking, like, an iced tea or something, like, you sip it, you savor it. If I'm drinking apple juice, like, I'm downing the apple juice. And I don't even think about that. I just, like, drink an entire bottle of apple juice in one sitting. So I always buy two. Sometimes, if they look fresh, I'll buy, like, grapes.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
Okay.
But sometimes I am, like, I'm going to get food poisoning and, like, die mm-hmm. on this plane. So I try to stay away from the packaged food. Because in my head, I'm like, where are all... Like, I feel like you've mentioned this uh-huh. on Very Delta before, but it's something about the refrigeration in an airport.
It's not right.
It just gives me the creeps. It's like, where are you refrigerating these, like, egg salad right. sandwiches?
How?
How are you refrigerating all of them? Like, where are the fridges? Because right. all I see is terminals. And it's like, it just gives me the creeps. And I'll do like a candy. I'll do like a Lifesaver gummy.
I love those.
Oh my God.
I try to put them on my fingers.
Oh my God, same.
Right.
Like rings.
Yeah.
I love to do that.
I want to push them down far enough where they break, but they never do.
Or right? Sometimes I'll like bite them in half. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like something about like biting a little thing
uh-huh.
in half. I think that comes from when I was a child, I was obsessed with hors d'oeuvres and okay. I was obsessed with finger food.
I love this.
I was obsessed with finger food. I was obsessed with like little small food.
Uh-huh.
So I loved the idea of like taking a cracker and like biting the cracker uh-huh. in half, because I would always see on TV, it's like they would never just pop the whole thing in their mouth.
Right.
You eat half because like, come on, you're in public.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to like eat half and then eat the other half. I was always so enamored with like finger food.
Yeah.
That and like food truck food. I don't it's know. Fun. I don't know why I was always just so obsessed with the idea of a really messy like sandwich.
Okay.
And I think it's because I would always watch like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives
uh-huh.
on Food Network, like with my parents. And the food would just always be so, like, big and massive and, like, messy. And I would always be like, that looks so, like, interesting.
Yeah,
like, does. I kind of love messy food, like a burger.
Now, are you comfortable eating in drag?
I'm comfortable eating in drag. I'm not comfortable drinking anything in drag because okay. if I have to pee, it's an entire situation.
I understand. I understand what that means. Yeah, I think that's 1,000% true. I would love to get into a conversation about what is having a few Pringles and then forgetting that you had Pringles. I've never had that experience before, but I'm going to hang out with Lux and we're going to figure that out after the break. We are back with Lux. You are absolutely somebody who references all of the things that you study, all of the things that you listen to. I do feel like a lot of people don't get that reference doesn't always have to do with just something that you saw, but sometimes it can be like evoking specifically a mood from a scene, from a movie where you're like, something about the curtains in here and this and this and this, and you want to recreate it. You also are somebody that loves recreating some of Rue's looks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
I don't know what it is. I think it's, I just see so much of like myself physically and her aesthetic mm-hmm. sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But also she has nice clothes. Listen, yeah. I love the woman's hair. I love the woman's clothes.
Yeah.
I love her music. I'm like kind of like her biggest fan. Like I really do admire her a lot for everything that she's like done and like the way that she's paved. It's like you can say what you want about her, but you can't say that like she did not absolutely like
1,000%
break the dawn.
1,000%. I can remember the first image that I saw of the supermodel. I had no idea. I couldn't understand because my only understanding of drag was like this joke
mm-hmm.
and this like, look at me, I have a wig on. I'm a girl. Like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and then when I saw Rue, I think it was on MTV. Actually, I think it was FTV, which was fashion television on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a half an hour show. And Rue was at like a fashion show somewhere. And I remember thinking like, they keep sort of suggesting that this is a man, but that's not possible because his hair is like growing out of his head. Like men don't have hair. Like that's what I thought. And this
mm-hmm.
is like 1992. Like, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, like that long ago. And so watching all of that and then like the RuPaul talk show on VH1, that one time came here and filmed in LA and it was like my first time ever going anywhere in drag. And
mm-hmm.
my friend Gary took me and we were like, we didn't understand because the only drag queens we saw in LA always had like big stripper pumps on. And Ru had these shoes on. And I remember she came to the audience and people were like, you're so beautiful. And somebody asked about her shoes and she's like, oh, Mark, these are Marc Jacobs. And I was like, how does, like, she's got to have, like, a bigger foot than, like,
uh-huh.
And then it wasn't until years later, working behind the scenes, I remember being in the room when Natasha was setting up all of Rue's stuff for filming, and I looked down, and I was like, oh, those are the shoes. She has a full collection of them in, like, 5 colors, and I remember thinking, like, they really were Marc Jacobs. Like, I just thought, oh, maybe she's just saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no denying. If you do drag, like denying the fact that the image of the supermodel has to influence you.
Yeah.
The supermodel of the world has to influence people.
Yeah, it's no way.
No way to not have respect for that.
I've like hyper fixated on RuPaul after I knew what Drag Race was.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this thing where if I see something and I like it, it will be my entire like thing for like a long time.
I love that.
So I discovered Drag Race through a certain YouTuber who I'm not going to mention. And then I like discovered it and I was like, oh my God, what is this? And then I was like, oh my God, RuPaul, she's like the one. And ever since then, I watched every single visual piece of media that I could find on her. I've probably seen every look, every picture. I've read all the books probably twice. Like, I feel like if there's anyone you are going to study, mm-hmm. it should be the person at the top of the industry that you
1,000%.
Want to be in. So if I knew that one day I would want to do drag, I should study the number one person in mm-hmm. the industry for it. It's mm-hmm. like I knew that I wanted to be an artist in some way. And in my head, the ultimate artist for me was Lady Gaga. And I did the same thing I did with RuPaul with Lady Gaga. I have watched every single performance, every single interview. I've read every single article. I've probably seen every outfit that she's ever worn in public. She is like my number one. Like, and I think I discovered both Lady Gaga and RuPaul in very pivotal times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like 12, like 11, 12, 13, 10. Like those are the years where you really kind of start to discover who you are. And I started feeling all these things or acknowledging that these feelings were present because they're always present.
Right.
But when you're a child, you're kind of just being a child. You're not really realizing that you feel a way that's different than other people until people are telling you it's different. Right. So people were telling me it's different. And I was like, okay, weird. And I was like feeling like, fuck, I'm different. Like, why? And then my parents would always be like, yeah, you're different, but like, that's good. You don't want to be a follower. You want to be a leader. It's like a mantra. It's like you have to always be the leader of the new. You always have to be a leader of your own image. You always have to be a leader of everything that you do. Even if you are in an ensemble,
right?
You have to stand out in some way. You have to lead, not necessarily the ensemble, but you have to lead yourself to be a good ensemble member.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should never be following the pack, but enough about following and leading. We get the point.
It's worth saying. It's important to stress that because that's how you live your life.
Very
and
true.
I think people need to hear you say that because they need to know that what you offer people is an experience. What you offer people is the full package. And again, there's so many people that always go, well, I'm humble. What does humble get anybody?
I think that being humble has never gotten anybody anything but a humanitarian award.
Right.
And I don't think I need one of those right now. Maybe later, but not right now.
And there's nothing wrong, again, with saying that there is an absolute difference. There's nothing selfish about being self-centered.
Yeah.
Does it mean you don't look out for other people?
I'm a very caring person sometimes. If it's me in a burning building versus you, I'm going to choose myself. If it's my career versus making myself palatable for you, I'm going to do that, you know?
I mean, this is the world that we live in. I mean, you're trying to traverse a world that has every reason to not want you in it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Every reason, at least every excuse that they want to make to not have you in it. But where do you think your love for references come from?
I like to say that Lux Noir London is a culmination of every thing that I've ever admired in my entire life in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, I don't know. But I cannot wait to find out why I reference things so much.
And I don't think you have to know. You know what I mean? Like putting that cap on somebody, like, what's next? Like, I don't know. Everything's next.
Yeah.
Nothing's next. I mean, it's like when you assign that to someone who's a creative person, it's like capping them and saying, if you don't know by this time,
mm-hmm.
then you can't be great. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, whenever I get the question in interviews like, oh, so what's next for Lux? I always say, I don't know what's next for Lux, but I'm excited to see it. I feel like when you set too many expectations for yourself, it blocks other frequencies from coming in and changing the path for you.
Right.
And I kind of just want to be an open vessel to my artistry to like flow wherever it's going to take me. I could wake up tomorrow and say, I want to throw all my drag away and stop this. And I think that as an artist, I have that right. And I don't think that.
Absolutely.
I don't think that I should, if I wake up one morning and say, I don't want to do this, feel like I failed because I didn't achieve all of the goals that I have. Of course, there's milestones that I would like to achieve. Like, I would love to be on the cover of Vogue. I would love to go to the Met Gala. I would love to have my own makeup line. I would love to be like the creative director of a fashion house. But these are things that I don't think that I need to be present for to do.
Mm-hmm.
I can be on the cover of Vogue through someone else. I can have a makeup line as Lux's influence through someone else.
Absolutely.
I feel like setting too many goals for yourself can sometimes be dangerous.
That is so wise. It really is very, very wise. And I think, I mean, again, you're the fact that you take these references and these inspirations and realize that you have so many avenues. And I think a lot of people have avenues, but they don't believe that they do.
Yeah.
They don't even want to recognize it because, again, they put in their mind this failure idea. Well, that's somebody else's description of success or failure. You mm-hmm. have to be happy with what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you so magical. I know part of one of the things that you obviously parlay what you do into is music.
Yeah.
You have Letting It All Hang Out. Tell us about that.
So Let It All Hang Out kind of was created in a space and time where I started feeling like, I guess, a little more rebellious. I was kind of tired of feeling like people didn't want me to speak freely or like speak my mind. And it's really just like the Drag Race fans on the internet and like just people giving me their shitty opinions when I didn't ask for them
1,000%.
And telling me that, oh, well, why are you complaining that people don't like you? Why can't you just like let it go? And I'm like, I've never been the type of person to like not say how I feel. If I feel a type of way about it, I'm not saying it because I necessarily feel a type of way about it. I'm saying it because I know that I can say that I feel a type of way about it. Most of the time when I'm like arguing back and forth with somebody online, I'm never upset. I'm doing it because I know that I have the power to say something back to you. And I think a lot of the time when people behind these accounts or people behind an internet screen like to give their unsolicited negative opinions to you, when you give them something back, they're like, oh, well, shouldn't you be booked or something? Why aren't you at work? And I'm like, Diva, I'm responding to you on the plane to the gig. Like, what do you mean? I can, if you think that you can say something to me, why can't I say something back to you? It's just what it is. I have all the time in the world to argue with somebody.
That's what I'm
saying. I love to argue.
That's my favorite thing. What's your astrological sign?
I'm a Virgo.
See? And that's the thing is, like, I don't understand when people want to say something like that. First of all, these are people who are enthusiasts of drag, not professionals at drag. Mm-hmm. And these are people who, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I get people who will say something scathing and then I'll say something back and they're like, no, I love you.
Yeah, it's I love you. I'm just like, whatever. And it's like, no, you were not just whatever. No. You were, I took what you said as a dig. So now I'm going to dig deeper because I know I can.
Right. I mean, everything you're saying is so true. And I think a lot of people are, it's one of the main things that I respect about you is the fact that you do speak your mind. Your goal is not to step on anyone's toes, but if they feel like they were stepped on, then maybe they should move the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
Because honestly, that's just the way it is.
Or wear a steel toe boot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really, like, I would love to say, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not. Like, and I don't think you are either, and I don't think you should be.
Yeah, I'd never, like, there is very few occurrences where I say something and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I'm like, yeah, I said it. I could have potentially gone a different way about saying it, but that's what I said and that's how I felt in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you have to like what I said, but hear it and you don't have to like it.
Right.
I'm never saying something like, this is how I feel and you should feel this way about it.
Right.
No, I'm saying this is how I feel. And you digest it the way you feel you need to. People say outrageous things about me all the time. Things that would make someone want to, like, stop doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've never been more powerful in my entire life.
Right.
After hearing the people say things about me. Because I just go back to thinking, like, people call Lady Gaga crazy at the beginning of her career. People had so much to say about her. And now look at her. She's an Oscar winner.
Right.
And she's topped the charts. And she is the reason why Lux Noir London is on Very Delta today. So I think that when people call people crazy and when people say all these negative things about people, to me, that just means that I've made it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 1,000%. I think I could just have you sit here and say this over and over. I don't know if you know this, but it's like when you say these things, it really fortifies that same belief in me and so many other people who oftentimes, you know, I don't know if it happens to you, but like there will be moments where you question like, am I doing the right thing? Should I do this? Should I do that? And then when there are people that you admire that you're watching do something, you think, no, they're on the right track, and I need to be on that track too.
I question this all the time, and I think that that is the mark of a true artist, because true artists are always wanting to self-reflect. I feel like if you just always know what's next and know what you're doing, or if people know what's next and know what you're going to do, then you failed. Because I feel like, in my head, an artist is always supposed to be pushing to do the next thing. And if I wake up one morning and I don't look in my closet and say, I kind of hate everything in here, I get scared because I'm like, why don't I feel like I need to be moving this in another direction or moving this forward or moving it backwards or moving it even like an inch away from where it is now? Every moment doesn't need to be some crazy fortifying change, but I think as a person, you need to evolve I think evolution is such a beautiful thing. And I feel like evolution, even from not being a physical evolution, I think mental evolution is also very important as an artist.
Your voice is so important. It really, really is so important. Not just to the Drag Race world, but just to people in general. It's really, let's take a break.
Thank you.
We are back with Lux. This is the part of the podcast that we call Read Me Delta. People send in letters or emails or snail mail. I like it when they send them in envelopes.
Read Me Delta!
If you want to send a letter in, you can send a letter about, I don't know, hors d'oeuvres. You can send a letter in about what you eat on Tuesdays. You can send a letter in about glossy legs. Whatever it is, send them in to readmedelta@gmail.com. I would say questions and observations, but I don't want any observations. I just want you to send questions in because people that opens people up to say, like, what did you think of this? And we don't care.
Yeah. That's why, like, when I'm on Instagram Live and people will ask me, like, what are your opinions on this queen? And I'm like, I'm here to talk about myself. Do not ask me about how I feel about anybody else.
Or, like, when people, you'll post a picture of yourself or whatever it is, and people will tag another queen in it. And it's like, very this person. It's
Like,
no, it's not anything like that.
It's
person.
Not anything.
It has nothing to do with
we
that.
Have, we just share a similar reference.
Right.
We are not the same.
Right. At all. Hi, Delta and Lux. I was with some friends the other day, and one of them told us about a recent trip across the country he went on where he was out at a bar by himself and started talking to the bartender. He told us he created this totally fake persona while talking to the bartender, including using a fake name, a fake job, background, and reason for being in town. Some of the guys were shocked he would do this and said it was weird, while others say they often create fake personas while in situations where you'll never see the people again just for fun. Is this weird? Do you ever create these fake stories or personas when traveling or interacting with strangers for fun? And if so, can you tell us about a time that you did this? Lots of love, iced tea, and good vibes. Very Joey D.
Well, I've been doing that probably at a like six nights a week for the last five years. I think it's fun.
I think it's great.
I say why not? Yeah. I actually should start doing that more because honestly, like, you can't really trust people.
Mm-mm.
You can find out a lot about somebody just by having their name and their birthday.
Yeah, that's 1,000% true. Well, I also think of it, that is true, but I also think about it in that it's like fun in a way. It also can be a safety net.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if I'm like out of town and say I'm in, I don't know, the Red Lion Inn in the middle of Colorado or something, and I'm leaving the hotel and people want to get inquisitive. Oh, what are you doing in town? I always say, oh, I'm here for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually not in drag. So they just see, you know, some dumpy, bald Mexican dude walking around. And they're like, what are you in town for? And I say, oh, I'm here for work. And mm-hmm. then they'll inevitably, like an Uber driver.
What do you do for work?
What do you do for work? And I always say, oh, I'm just here to evaluate some personnel that work at the hotel. And I'm staying at that same hotel.
Mm.
Or I work for, I work for a liquor company. And we're just checking things out.
Most of the time, like, if they ask, like, if I'm in drag, they're like, oh, where are you going? I'm like, oh, to work. And they're like, oh, what do you work? I'm like, I dance.
Yeah. I mean, you're not lying, really.
I mean, I do dance sometimes.
Yeah.
Where recently, well, over the summer, I have kind of been in my zone of just, like, wearing a bathing suit and walking around the stage.
That's fine.
I love that.
That's great.
Because, like, they kind of, like, still, like, really live.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, if I can just, like, walk around, like, body glossed up, like, barely a bathing suit on, mm-hmm. and, like, sickening hair, beat face to, like, some random song, like, love that.
I think I should get one of those like 1920s ladies bathing suits that's like to the knee. It's like bloomers and then put like a thing around me, like a floaty and be like, Lux said that this worked for her and I'm going to wear it. And I mean, do you think people would buy it?
It doesn't matter if people would buy it because you're selling it.
I mean, I don't know if I could sell it that well though.
I think you could.
As long as I oil up.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Delta and Lux. I absolutely hate peas. Whenever I eat a Mexican or Chinese restaurant and I see there's peas in the rice, they've lost me. How do you feel about peas in your rice? What is the point of peas in rice? I think it's a great way to ruin a perfectly good side. Sometimes I even like to order chicken fried rice as my full meal when it's a new Chinese place we're trying out. I risk it because I think, what could go wrong with fried rice? It's the safest option. Then the food arrives and I discover that they put peas in the rice. You better believe I will not be ordering there again. How do you feel about peas in your rice? Sincerely, very Kyra.
I don't think I've ever had like peas in my rice from a Chinese restaurant.
No?
No. But I also just hate peas.
See, it's the one thing that I absolutely cannot stand.
Like, I hate peas.
I can't. I cannot. My mother used to say when I was a baby, when she would serve baby food, I would spit the peas out. And so she realized, then my aunts and stuff would always say, oh, you know, they have to eat their peas. The babies have to eat their vegetables. And my mother said, there's too many other vegetables that he enjoys.
Like, why peas?
To force this child to eat those peas. I was just thinking about this the other day because my family's Mexican, and we there's always, when we go to Mexican restaurants, there's always peas or green beans in rice. Mm. And I just think it's so weird because I can't think of other dishes that my family or other Mexican families I know cook that involve peas.
I know that I eat at, like, Caribbean restaurants sometimes, and I know they have, like, rice and peas.
Uh-huh.
But to me, I feel like whenever I get it, it's just beans. I feel like they call peas beans.
Oh, I could see that, because, like,
I could be very wrong, but I feel like whenever I'm at a Caribbean restaurant, they say rice and peas, but it always ends up being rice and beans.
Because, you know, some people call chickpeas garbanzo beans, mm-hmm. or vice versa. So yeah, I wonder why that happens. But I'm with you. Was there any other foods that you don't like?
There's so many foods I don't like.
Really?
I feel like I could say more foods that I do like.
Yeah.
There's less foods that I do like than no.
I don't
like a lot of foods. I'm a very picky eater.
Well, and you know what though? That's what I was just gonna say. A lot of people will say like, so and so is picky, and I think you're particular.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I don't really enjoy, like, sauces.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not a bit, like, I love barbecue sauce, mm-hmm. but I don't like enough barbecue sauce to where, like, I feel uncomfortable eating it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel the same way about, like, creamy things.
Okay.
Like, I do not like milkshakes because the texture, it's thinner than ice cream, but it's thicker than juice.
Right. Will you drink a Premier protein shake?
No.
Okay.
I don't like milk either. I don't drink milk.
Okay. Not even like almond milk.
I hate the substitutes.
Okay.
Give me cow's milk, please.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, there are there are so many other substances that are worse for you than cow's milk. Like, we need to get over it, society. People drink cow's milk. It is what it is. But
You heard it here.
Do you not like cow's milk?
No, I'll drink it. I mean, I never really drink milk. Like, I'll drink it. I don't really have that much of an opinion about it. I think the only thing I really don't like is, like, peas. I don't like horseradish.
Mm-mm.
I can't do that. I feel like as I get older, I less and less like meat, kind of. Like, I know that sounds really weird for me, but, like,
I've been, like, in a meat resurgence.
Okay.
Like, lately, I've been, like, kind of, like, living for a steak moment.
Okay.
But I went through a phase where I only ate chicken and fish. Like, was, like, low-key a little pescatarian,
mm-hmm.
Where I only ate seafood and chicken. But now I can kind of get down with a little bit of beef.
What kind of steak do you like? And do you like sauce on it? Or no, you don't like sauce. Just, why would I fucking ask her if she likes sauce when she just said she doesn't like sauce? Do you like a
What's that, like, white sauce that they put on steak sometimes?
Like if peppercorn?
Yes.
Okay.
I was in the UK this summer, and I think I had a steak with peppercorn sauce.
Okay.
It was so good.
Okay.
And I was like, I like the sauce, but I don't think that I've had it since. But what's, like, it's filet mignon, I think, or it was like a thicker piece of meat.
Like, either a filet mignon is thick or a porterhouse steak is thick.
It was one of those.
Okay.
It was like a thick piece of meat.
Do you like it, like, rare, or do you like it more?
Okay. This has been 2013, where the fuck am I? 2023
The reference is 2013.
Yeah, it's 2013 because that's when everybody was like, it was, I don't know, 2013 was weird. The world was supposed to end, like, the year before, like, it was bananas.
Right, Mayan calendar.
Yeah, very, I was terrified.
I think everybody was.
I was, because I was like, I just don't know.
Wait, when were you born? Like 1999? Yeah, okay. So you weren't even around for it.
Y2K.
We thought we were going to lose our shit. We really, everybody did. Everyone thought, like, the phones are going to die. But I will tell you, Y2K was so kind of sickening. Like, people were looking forward to it, that when we would shop in downtown LA, we would find clear stripper shoes that said Y2K on them. Like, you know, I wish we still had those shoes.
I could be wrong. Wasn't everything kind of, like, on, like, clearance at some point?
Yes, because it was, they thought a lot that, of people, like, would do it.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we should find Y2K clothing. I bet you could do, like, a sick Y2K. anyway.
But I want like authentic, like none of the like Mylar, like weird, like this is like why.
Yeah, fuck out of here with that.
Like authentic.
Wait, do you eat soup?
Yes, I love chicken noodle soup.
Okay,
I love a chicken soup.
Yeah.
But another weird, contradictory, the chicken gnocchi soup from Olive Garden.
Uh-huh.
Oh, turns my pussy inside out. I love it so much.
I love Olive Garden.
Oh, Olive Garden might be my favorite restaurant ever, period.
And people are always shitting on it. They're like, you know, it's microwaved. Okay.
I don't care.
I'm not going to microwave it, so.
I microwave food all the time.
Take this credit card and we're going to eat. Like,
and you're
going to
give me my tour of Italy.
Oh, what? We just took it to a new level because I always order that. This is something you have to do.
However, I do say that the chicken parm is a little too salty.
And I think it is a little bit like a piece of shoe.
Yeah.
Like it is, right? Like I would just rather have like extra pasta.
Yeah.
Or something.
It needs something. But yeah, the chicken parm is salty, which it stops me from ordering it.
Yeah.
So I typically do the chicken fettuccine Alfredo.
Okay.
But I will do chicken frita instead of grilled chicken.
Okay. Okay. I could see that being really good.
It is really good. Huh. However, I think that at Olive Garden, they don't put enough sauce on their Alfredo. Like, they don't put enough Alfredo sauce.
What do you drink there?
I typically get, like, a ginger ale or a Sprite.
Are you a dessert person at a restaurant? See, I'm not either.
No.
Well, and I'm going to tell you why. Not because like, I don't have a dessert. I'm watching my calories. I just eat so much goddamn food.
Yeah, by the time the entree gets there, most of the time I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm a little full.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I like to take, do you ever do the where you can buy the order to go? Like,
I don't think I've ever done that. I've thought about it, but typically I have enough food left over where I can just take that.
Yeah.
I do sometimes think about, sometimes I do get an order of breadsticks to go because they're unlimited. I paid for it. So
yeah,
I'm gonna get my unlimited breadsticks. But then I'll typically forget about them.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You can't forget.
I always forget. Like, that's why now I've kind of just been not even taking my food to go when I don't finish it, because I will always forget that it's there.
Yeah.
Because I go to sleep, I wake up, and then I'm like, I have to order IHOP.
You know what I did the other day is I went to a restaurant and I forgot to use a gift card for that restaurant, and then I left, and then I couldn't find the gift card, and I remembered that I left it on the empty seat next to me.
Oh,
and it was
my god,
fat ass gift card too, and I was so
died, I think.
But we're rich, so like, yeah, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter.
I can just buy another gift card.
Keep your gift card. We don't need your pity. But I do have my Venmo posted in my link tree, so
Boots.
You can, yeah. So
same.
You know, I'm not really rich at all. But I think you know that, or I wouldn't be sitting at this desk. I would have been with her at the Emmys. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This is super, super fun.
This
I
is
love
like
this.
The highlight of like my year.
Stop.
And while the year did just start, it's like, this is the highlight of my last year.
I love that.
We're doing like rollover points.
I'll take it. I'll take it wherever it lands. Again, I just love, everything that you put on Instagram. It's so fun. And I wish people would really, you know, go on. And I know people do support you. And I know you feel that. But I just, it's just so weird to me when I know somebody is just excellent, is kind to people, is positive about themselves, and there would still be other people questioning or saying something negative. It's like, why? Especially when it's other queer people that are doing it. I'm like, you're making all this noise when there's already all this other shitty noise out there coming against people who have the cream rises to the top, babe. You don't get to this point unless you are the fucking cream, even if you don't
Period.
Eat cream sauces.
That is
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
I feel like if everybody felt the way I felt about myself, it wouldn't be so peculiar.
Right. And I think we need to switch this terminology when people do not understand selfish and self-centered. Put yourself first.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
You have to. Because if you don't, who will?
Girl, honestly, nobody will. Everybody keeps shitting on everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's like, my gosh, let people be an inspiration to you for whatever reason. I really love what you said about, you know, even if you look at something, you're like, maybe not an entire overhaul. Maybe I just move it an inch. Maybe I move it half an inch. It's just that trajectory of just going and going and going. And maybe you see it in a new light.
You know?
I think it's super important.
You never know. You can move an inch and it can change your entire perspective on everything.
Or you can move it 7 inches. I mean, 7 inches or more.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
Vanity Six. Vanity Nasty
Six.
Girl.
That's the prophetess.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me everywhere at Lux Noir London. That's LuxxNoirLondon. You can stream all of my music under Lux Noir London on every streaming platform known to man, woman, they, or them. Or if you don't identify of any of those, you know, you can find it on the internet. And you can find me, you know, in the world, because the world is where I reside.
Do you ever have people that, like, you'll post, like, a flyer for some event that you're doing, and people are like, what day is this?
Yeah, it's like...
You just read it.
People just forgot how to read.
Yeah, just read it. I think sometimes people just want to interact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't respond, because I'm like, they say there's no such thing as a stupid question. Wrong. I think that tons of questions are stupid. Because so if the answer is staring you right in the face, why would you ask it?
I wish more people were as honest as you. And like, it's, I was waiting for this interview just because I knew that just, and from other people who know you, they're like, it gets misconstrued. I think when people watch people on Drag Race, like, and I hate hearing like, oh, that's not me. It is
no,
me.
No, it was me.
And it's me at that time. And then you're getting me at this time. And it's, and there's different me's. There's different phases of me. There's different references of me. And I just, but I feel like it's always true. The things that you're saying is, I think it's sickening.
I was the same exact person as I was here on Drag Race. And the only thing that changed is that people just can't take me. And that's honestly what it is. I can't change anything about that.
Yeah. I always tell people, nobody forced me to say anything on Drag Race that I said. Nobody forced me. Now, chronologically, it may be presented differently. However, thank you so much for listening to Very Delta and watching the show. Our show comes out every Monday. Please subscribe to Mom Podcasts on the YouTube and turn on your notifications, because we don't want you to miss an episode. Also, search for Very Delta on your favorite podcast apps to listen to the audio-only version if you can't take all of this beauty. I mean, just
it's
listen.
It's a lot of beauty to
take.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Between the two of us.
You can also sign up for our premium offerings on Mom Plus Gold by visiting mompodcasts.plus, where you can also get weekly episodes of More Very Delta. Don't forget to send all of your questions to readmedelta@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at DeltaWork. Thank you so much for listening, and until next week, keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta ad-free, a day early, and to get access to more Very Delta, sign up for Mom Plus Gold at mompodcast.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom, hosted by Delta Work. Production supervision and engineering by Margot Padilla. Editing and post-production by Doug Robertson, with original theme music by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Willem, Alaska, Big Dipper, Camille Stennis, and Joe Cilio. Wait, is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Are you going to eat something today?
Maybe.
Mom!
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.